It's another Football Friday. Playoff action for the high school ranks begins. LSU continues their quest for perfection. The Raging Cajuns try to get win number 8, and the Saints make it a terrific trio as all three of our teams are on the road. It's a Football Friday today, November the 15th, 2019.
So 3rd and 29 with 14 seconds left. Rudolph will dump it off to the left side. Trey Edmonds, the catch, sprints out of bounds. And a fight at the 9-yard line. Flags are thrown. The Browns and the Steelers, and Garrett just threw a punch. And Pittsburgh retaliating. Marquise Pouncey was kicking in there, and flags are flying with 8 seconds left. The Steelers are running from the sideline to join in. And this one is going to end in ugly fashion.
It's going to come back to hurt our team. You know, the guys who jumped in the little scrum, I appreciate, you know, my team having my back, but it just never got to that point. That's on me.
Should Garrett be done for the year, or what you did?
Absolutely. 100%. We'll see how serious the NFL is about their players.
Do you expect anything to happen to you?
At this point, who cares? My man got hit in the head with a helmet. I mean, I'll say whatever penalty it is.
Welcome. An ugly scene in the NFL. And just how serious is the NFL? Well, they have indefinitely banned Browns defensive end, former Texas A&M Aggie Myles Garrett, for hitting Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph in the head with his helmet. Indefinite. He's done for this season. And the question is, how much into next season is he gone? This is a player that just snapped. He absolutely snapped. Pittsburgh's Maurice Pouncey suspended for 3 games. Cleveland's Larry Ogunjigbo suspended for 1 game. An ugly, ugly scene. Cleveland had the game wrapped up. I don't know what in the Sam Hill happened, what was going on. I have no clue, but it was ugly. And all I can say is thank goodness that that helmet wasn't turned around and he hit him with the crown of it. If he did, then we're talking about a whole nother scenario. But unnecessary, unwarranted, just awful. Just awful. And that's all we're going to say about it. We're done with it. And then we're going to move on. Because it's a Football Friday, and the LSU Tigers on the road, the Raging Cajuns on the road, and the New Orleans Saints on the road. UL, 4 p.m. kickoff, Ladd Peebles Memorial Stadium in Mobile, taking on the woeful South Alabama Jaguars, who are 1-8 on the season. The Raging Cajuns trying to get to win number 8 in their year. The LSU Tigers will pick it up from there. 6 o'clock kickoff against the Ole Miss Rebels at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium in Oxford, Mississippi. Of course, you'll hear the game right here on 103.7 The Game. 4 o'clock pregame show, 6 o'clock call of the game. Then the Saints will wrap things up with our local teams on Sunday at 12 noon when they kick things off against the Buccaneers in Tampa by the Bay. We are loaded as always. And we begin things, as always, by trying to figure out what is the weather going to be like at all these locations. Chris Cozart, meteorologist to the stars and for KLFY, kind enough to join us. Chris, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We're doing terrific. All right, let's start off Football Friday night in Acadiana. What can all the high schoolers expect from a weather perspective?
I would call it perfect football weather once again, man. Chilly conditions. Probably temperatures will be in the upper 40s around that kickoff time. So just bundle up and enjoy the games. No rain or anything like that in the area.
All right. Let's head east. 4 o'clock kickoff in Mobile, the Raging Cajuns. What can Cajun fans anticipate?
Pretty much what we saw today, maybe a touch warmer there. I think temperatures will be in the 50s to 60s and a lot of clear skies.
All right, clear skies. All right, let's head up a little bit north to the lovely state of Mississippi. Oxford, Mississippi, as a matter of fact. 6 o'clock kickoff, LSU versus Ole Miss. One of the coldest nights I've ever experienced during an LSU football game in Oxford. Rumor has it it's going to be another chilly night up there.
Yeah, probably won't be as cold as the game that you're probably remembering, but, you know, we're probably looking at 40s, just like what we're seeing this afternoon or this evening for our high school games. You're probably looking at somewhere around 47 at kickoff for that one. But, again, clear skies, so we don't have to worry about anything but the cold temperatures.
Beautiful. So far we've hit the jackpot with 3 for 3. Sunday, the Saints have a noon kickoff in Tampa, Florida, against the Buccaneers. I would imagine a little bit warmer there.
Just a little bit. You know, it actually won't be as warm as you think, in probably mid-60s, so maybe just a little bit warmer than what we're going to see this weekend. But they're seeing that cold air that we're seeing here in Louisiana as well. But, again, it looks like beautiful weather. If anybody's heading over to Tampa for that one, it's going to be really nice.
Oh, that's awesome. Chris Cozart of KLFY for all the latest weather updates and what you're interested in and where you're going. Chris will have it for you. He brings it to us each and every Friday. Cannot thank you enough, man. Really appreciate it.
Hey, when the weather's this easy for all those games, I don't mind giving it, you know?
Yeah, everybody loves the weatherman now, boy. But a couple months ago, we weren't liking you much with all these storms and all that stuff. But hey, whatever you've been doing, keep it up, because we kind of like it, man. We kind of like it. So thank you, Chris. Let me tell you what we have in store for you today. As per the norm, we'll get things started shortly with the Nickel Report. Everything you need to know about Hotty Toddy, gosh almighty, who in the heck are we? Hey, flim flam, bim bam, Ole Miss, by damn. So we'll find out about that. Jordy and the Judge, Doug Morrow, will be on the call of the game as the color analyst for the LSU Tiger Radio Network before we'll have the game here on 103.7 The Game. Doug will join me. We'll dissect this thing. It seems like the perfect mismatch. They can't stop the pass. Nobody better throw in the football than LSU. So we'll see. Harry Harrison was a former Ole Miss Rebel. Defensive back. He will join us at around 2:45 this afternoon, give us the very latest on the Ole Miss Rebels. And he was a defensive back, so how do you stop this LSU passing game, and what are his thoughts on LSU and Ole Miss? That will be our number one. We'll kick off our number two. George Faust will join us, sports director of KLFY. Got some big games in high school football in Acadiana. The playoffs have begun. We'll spotlight Acadiana. We'll spotlight Karen Crow. We'll spotlight Notre Dame, Lafayette Christian, all kind of schools that are one step closer to fulfilling their goals and their dreams and their aspirations, and that's winning a state championship. You win, you survive in advance. You lose, you snooze, you go home, season over. So we'll talk about that. J.D. Byers is the play-by-play voice of South Alabama. He'll give us his thoughts on the Jaguars as they try to slow down this this raging Cajun team that's gotten much better defensively. Ron Roberts up for the Broyles Award as one of the best assistant coaches in the land on the defensive side. And you know they can run it, but if Levi Lewis can continue to throw it like he is, boy, that's a dangerous, dangerous ball club. A lot of people are projecting the raging Cajuns to go back to Mobile when it comes time to go bowling. So we shall see. And then, of course, as always, we'll give you some predictions. We call it Monday's Headlines on a Friday. As CD, George Becknell, and I, the tripod, will get together. We'll make some picks, including the oldest rivalry in the South, Georgia at Auburn, which has a lot of people anticipating and a lot of Alabama fans pulling for Auburn. And you never, ever, ever thought you'd have that. We are brought to you each and every day by Peterbilt of Louisiana, with the best truck in the business. Locations in Lafayette, Lake Charles, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans. It's the goal and the dream of every truck driver to own a Peterbilt, the standard bearer in the industry, the very best of the best. Peterbilt of Louisiana. All right, we'll get things started on this Football Friday after our first time out for the day. The Nickel Report. Jim Nickel, the Crowley Kid, joins us with everything you need to know about that university in Oxford, Mississippi. It's all coming your way. Football Friday, The Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Are you looking for... This is everything you need to know about the Tigers' opponent on Saturday. Time for the Nickel Report.
It's one of the oldest rivalries around. LSU and Ole Miss have started playing back in 1894. The first ever meeting between the two schools. Big, important week for the LSU Tigers, and we welcome in our friend who does the Nickel Report for us, Spotter Extraordinaire, who was went viral with his arms thrust in the air after an LSU touchdown against Alabama. Jim Nickel, superstar, joins us. James, good afternoon, sir.
Oh, Jordy, so good to be with y'all. Can't wait to go to Oxford tomorrow, about to load up the buses and try to get another SEC road win. But, yeah, Tuscaloosa was special, and I thought I was famous being on the Jordy Helfrich Show. But there's nothing like Twitter, man. I'm trending.
You're trending, yeah. All that stuff is. That tweet stuff is crazy. But before we look ahead to Saturday's matchup, going back, I could hear screams of joy and euphoria throughout Baton Rouge. All you had to do was raise your windows in your house, or if you were driving, lower the windows of your car. It was like such a release of frustration and joy all at one time. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, you know, I think the word's cathartic. I think is the technical term when you feel like you've been healed or you've been rid of something. It was very much that feeling. There were people after the game, players, others that were somewhat emotional because it felt like, you know, we finally did it. We needed to do it. And I got to tell you, I got to give Coach Ogeron a lot of credit. Before the game, when we walked in, when he was still in his coat and tie, he walked straight over to that Alabama student body who were there early because the president was coming. Mm-hmm. A lot of people got in the stadium. And he went over there and popped his chest and held up the L. And the more they gave it to him, he gave it back. And I think the players were watching. And I think Ed was trying to say,
really?
Look, we're not scared. We're not. Oh, yeah. He went right to that student body, and he hit that chest twice with his fist, and he held up the L, and they dropped a few F-bombs on him and things, and he's like, we're coming. And I think Ed had the team convinced. Yeah. You know, a lot of, you've been there a million times, Jordan. You get to a game, you're like, I think we can win. I hope we can win. We're good enough to win. Yeah. But you never have that sometimes when you go to Tuscaloosa, we're going to win. And Ed had him there. I mean, he had him thinking, we're here to win this game. We're not here to play a good game. We're here to win the game, and we did. And it was hopefully a trend that we will – because, look, it's not a rivalry when you win every 9 years.
That's right.
We got to win every other year. So hats off to the coaching staff and a lot of players. And, look, I haven't heard anybody talk about our kicker. This freshman kicker goes in. We won by five. He scored 6 points. He kicked a 45-yarder and a 40-yarder on the road in a hostile stadium. Hats off to him. I mean, he was a big part of the win as well. So
no question.
Team win. Coaching win, city win, state win. It was just all around great for LSU.
See,
and, of course, a signature win for Joe Burrow. So.
See, that's why I love having you, because I've been talking about this all. It's the first I've heard of Coach O going up to the student body and pumping his chest. That is great stuff. I got to ask
been there,
you.
You know how it works. You know how it works. When the coach gets there, he's still in his coat and tie. He gets off the bus. He goes straight onto the field.
That's right.
And when you were our field guy, he would tape an interview with you, a pregame interview, and then he would do a little TV, and then he would look around, and then he heads to the locker room and puts on his coaching clothes. When he walked in and that student body started yelling at him, he went right over to him. And he didn't do it necessarily in a disrespectful way, but he was like,
I love it.
Y'all not scaring me. I'm here to beat you. I thought it was great. I thought it was fantastic.
It is great. Let me ask you this before we go on. Landing in Baton Rouge, what was that like?
Oh, that was super cool. I mean, all those fans out there. I mean, I had gotten a text that the governor was planning to greet the plane, which is already going to be a pretty neat thing for those players. And then everybody's phone started blowing up. Can the fans come to the airport? Can they go to the football ops center? You know, you can't let them on the runway. But
right,
they all
right.
parked up and down Plank Road, and it was, and they all had their phone lights on. You saw the videos. It was really, really neat, and I think it's what opened Joe Burrow's eyes. I mean, Joe knew it was a big win for the team and big win for his career and that kind of. But I don't think he realized how big it was for Louisiana until he got off that plane and all those fans were screaming for him. Really cool moment.
That's some awesome stuff. All right, we're heading to Oxford, Mississippi, the Grove. I'm hearing it's going to be really, really cold. Ole Miss has played some close games. I mean, they lost to A&M by 7. They lost to Auburn by 6. One at home, Auburn on the road. So nothing to sneeze about. Tigers got to get ready. Let's hear everything we need to know about the Hotty Totties.
University of Mississippi, Nickel Report. Ole Miss founded in 1848. Of course, all Jardy Hultberg show listeners know LSU was founded in 1860. Their endowment, about half of LSU's. They're right at about the $450 million mark. They've done better over the last few years. Their enrollment, about 14,500 students, puts them about half the size of LSU as well. Their tuition in-state, around $5,000, same as LSU. Everybody wants to know why they called Ole Miss. I mean, it's the University of Mississippi. Well, they started publishing their yearbook in 1897, and they wanted a contest on what to name the yearbook. And they opened it up to the student body, and a number of student bodies sent in suggestions. And Elma Meek, a young freshman student at the time, she submitted the name Ole Miss. It won the name of the yearbook, and it became the name by which the university is known, and that's how it became Ole Miss. The School of Law is the fourth oldest public law school in the nation, a very good law school, by the way. Of course, now I'm going to catch you again. I got you on Crimson Ride. Please tell me, Jordy, what is the speed limit on the campus of the University of Mississippi?
Unless they change it to Eli, it's got to be 18.
That's right. It's still 18. There are some places where it's 10 for Eli, but most of the campus, the speed limit is 18 miles an hour because that was Archie's number when he was there. Their school colors are red and Yale. And it's because they loved Harvard. Harvard had Yale and red. They went with Yale and red. They were called the Mississippi Flood for a long time. Then became the Rebels, and then they took Colonel Reb off the sideline in 2003. And then they were the Rebel Bruisers, and then they were Rowdy Rebel, and then on and on. And the Rebel. Then we had the Rebel Black Bear. And anyway, now their mascot is a land shark. Go figure. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Famous attendees, William Faulkner, who won the Nobel Prize in Literature. John Grisham, we talked about him. He went to Mississippi State for undergrad. He went to Ole Miss Law School, and he lives in Oxford. Dr. Leonard Bones McCoy, remember Star Trek, the doctor on Star Trek? Whenever he was asked where he graduated from, he was an Ole Miss grad. Trent Lott, the former majority leader of the U.S. Senate. Eli Manning, of course, is a graduate. Archie Manning, Patrick Willis, one of the great pro linebackers of the 49ers. Here's one of Jordy's favorites, Kate Jackson, one of the original Charlie's Angels. Remember Kate?
Indeed. Yes.
Beautiful woman. Shepard Smith, who used to be on Fox and is no longer on Fox. And, of course, the famous story of the Blind Side, Ole Miss Michael Orr, got his degree in criminal justice at Ole Miss. They've had 6 SEC titles. They claim 3 national championships. All of them have been disputed. By the way, Ole Miss, first college football team to ever fly to a football game. They flew from Memphis to Philadelphia in 1937 to play against, I don't know who, I need to get some research done on that. And then finally, no Heisman Trophy winner, Eli and Archie both probably coulda, shoulda, but didn't. And that is the Nickel Report for Ole Miss.
I know this is near and dear to your heart, so it's a 6 o'clock kickoff. You've got the LSU basketball game from 3 to 5. Before that, if you haven't voted, right, go vote.
Correct. Yeah, you got to go vote. If you didn't early vote, you got to vote before, you know, definitely before the LSU game because you won't make it after that. The polls close at 8. I think it's unfortunate the basketball game's the same day, but it should be a nice day to go vote. Make sure your voice is heard. That's what makes this country and the state great. So I hope the listeners out there will vote if they haven't voted already. And then it's election night, so it's going to be crazy. I'm going to be trying to keep track of the LSU basketball game, the LSU football game, and, of course, the Tigers night before last. My goodness, how many turnovers can you have in a basketball game? Anyway, we'll get to that later. But I expect a win in Oxford. I expect our passing game to overwhelm the Ole Miss defense. I wouldn't be surprised if we fall behind early, a little sluggish after Alabama. But this little quarterback, they got shifty, and we got to tackle. We don't hit, we tackle. And hopefully we come out of Ole Miss with another good road win, and then we're home. We're home for a couple weeks, and it'd be nice.
give me a team that runs the football. I don't want to see these wide receivers going all over the place and getting quick scores. I mean, the key to this thing is get ahead of Ole Miss early, make Ole Miss have to throw it to catch up, and they got no shot.
Yeah, but they don't have the receivers they had last year. Of course, one of them, I think, is in the NFL. And so I do think that we can clamp down on the corners. A lot of people didn't know Derek Stingley was sick last week. I mean, the guy had the flu before kickoff. I mean, he was not feeling good.
I didn't know that either.
And so Stingley was not 100%. Now, he got caught in a couple spots, and one of them wasn't his fault. Coach O said it in the press conference Monday. So Stingley will be back and feeling better. I like our chances with our defense. If we wrap and tackle, and then I think Joe's just on a mission to light it up, and he's got the weapons to do it. So, and I just have to say, Clyde Edwards-Helaire's performance, that final touchdown was simply him wanting to be in the end zone more than Alabama wanted him not in the end zone. It was pure heart. What an incredible, incredible game for him. So,
was that when you showed your 42-inch vertical?
No, I think that was a touchdown on the other end zone. I thought it was too, but no, it was not. But I don't know who caught that moment. But normally in the press box we try to stay reserved, but that game was too big. I don't think I sat down the whole game. I spotted standing up. I just couldn't sit. I was too excited, too nervous. But it was so fun. So much fun.
That was great. You are now Jim Trending Nickel. And that is our nickel report. Have a safe trip. Stay warm. I'm telling you, that was one of the coldest nights I've ever experienced on the sidelines in Oxford, Mississippi. So stay warm, and Coach O will have them ready to go, buddy. We'll talk to you next week when the Hogs come calling. Ugh, are they bad? Anyway, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. All the best to you and your listeners. Have a great weekend. Go Tigers.
All right, there he is, Jim Nickel. The Nickel Report will continue this Football Friday edition of the Jordy Helfert Show. Doug Morrow, it's time for Jordy and the Judge on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Time to talk Tigers with former All-American Doug Morrell. All rise! It's another edition of Jordy and the Judge.
Doug Morrow kind enough to join us just prior for the Tigers leaving for Oxford, Mississippi as they try to keep this incredible season alive and well. Doug, kind enough to join us. Good afternoon, Douglas. How are you, my friend?
Doing great, Jordy, and yourself?
Great. Look, I know players have to turn the page on Monday and tell the truth and move onward, but I got to get your thoughts on one of those special moments in LSU football history when the Tigers went into Tuscaloosa and came away with that scintillating win last Saturday. As you've sat down now and let days pass and thoughts settle, what comes to mind?
Well, it was one of those games which I think was kind of the right kind of game for LSU to have played in beating Alabama. And I'll tell you what I mean by that.
Okay.
LSU gave up some big plays that let Alabama score and actually stay in the game because the beatdown was a lot worse than 46-41. But LSU gave up more than two long passing plays, but two for touchdowns, a kick return for a touchdown in a situation where they should have had the punt returner tackled well back around the 10-yard line. And then in the third quarter, they let Alabama get into their running game, and Najee Harris really shredded LSU for about a quarter before the Tigers got back in the game. So there were some negative things, as I'm sure when they looked at the film on Monday, the coaches pointed out, and there were a lot of positive things because LSU kept coming back and maintaining the two-score lead that never let Alabama get close enough to win the game. So there was a lot of good in the victory. there was a lot of bad in the victory, which is really going to be good because it shows the team, it's a demonstration to the team that if they allow somebody to score so easily or to maintain contact with them in the course of a game, they can lose. And that was highlighted probably by the Saints and Atlanta the following day in New Orleans, because the Saints just looked terrible. And the Saints are better than Atlanta. Atlanta looked like world champions. The Saints looked horrible. So that's and it was interesting to me. You know, we used to talk when Coach Saban was at LSU, that he would, at his press conferences, he would talk to the press, and he would hypothesize what they were going to ask him. I know you're going to ask me about this, so here's what I'm going to tell you about it, right? But he was talking to his team, but he knew that the press would write about the topic, and therefore his team would read what the press wrote, and that was the way he got his message to his players. Ed Orgeron has adopted that. He's very good at it. And what he's done, he was asked at his press conference the other day about, is he going to point out the fact that the Saints lost to Atlanta in what was an upset. And his answer was that they're not going to talk about it. They don't talk about things like that. What they talk about is being the best that they can be. Well, he knows that the press is going to write his answer. They're going to write his in there. Therefore, the players will read it. They will be aware of the topic, but they'll get the message from the coach that we don't need to talk about that. We just have to do the best that we can do. So he's learning as he goes along all of the great tricks of communication that the great coaches use, and it's made him a much better coach. He was always great recruiter, great motivator, one of these guys that the players love to play for, but he's becoming even more than that. And it's wonderful to watch, I think, because his personality is obviously a lot different than Nick Saban's or any other of the top coaches, but it's allowed him to become one of the top coaches. I think it's a great thing to watch. It's just fascinating to see how he manages his team in such a way that he gets motivation every week from them.
He had them believing. I'm telling you, it was quite obvious. He had that team believing they were going into Tuscaloosa and they were coming back to Baton Rouge with a win. And it was, boy, he endeared himself to everyone in talking about how this was great for the state of Louisiana. It was just a great story. Are you concerned at all? Look, Ole Miss, their record might be a little deceiving. They've played some teams really, really close. They played Auburn to a 6-point game on the road. They lost to A&M by 7 points. So they're playing better. Their defense has gotten better. They run the ball better than any team in the SEC. But I'd rather play a running team than a team that, like Alabama, that throws it all over the field. There's too much at stake at this game, right? LSU's not going to have a hangover, are they?
They shouldn't. And this LSU team has a lot of mature players on it who I think follow the lead of the coach that when they get past Monday, the last game is forgotten, and it's on to the next game. And they're very, very insistent on that being part of their process, and the players have adopted that. You know, when you look at Ole Miss, I think the matchup is good for LSU because not only are they an excellent rushing team, and LSU has gotten to be where they're pretty good at stopping the rush, but the key rusher they have is their quarterback, John Rice Plumlee, who's just a freshman, and he's not that big. He's 6 feet, 190 or so pounds. Very fast, 4.4. You're one of those guys that looks like he's faster than everybody else. Now, I think LSU, other than Alabama, is going to be the fastest and quickest team that he has played against. And so he is going to find a different challenge. And I think what LSU is going to do is they are going to make him be a passer. He's about a 50% passer, which in modern-day college football is not that great. And so I think what they're going to do is they're going to take his run away from him. They're going to put him, if he wants to run, they're going to make him run in places that he's not comfortable. he likes to get to the outside and turn the corner. He's got the speed to do it. But if you keep him from doing that, you make him stay inside where mm-hmm. there are some big, fast guys. And I think LSU probably will play their cheetah package, you know, the pass rushing package of the fast guys, because right. they want fast guys who can keep up with him. I think they're going to give him some looks that he's not used to. And LSU, I think, is the best team that Ole Miss has played to this point. They played Alabama, of course, and got beat pretty badly. Mm-hmm. But Ole Miss has been good as far as moving the football and scoring. They just hadn't stopped very many people. So with LSU, I think the Tigers have a deficit at tackle. They're going to, of their top six tackles, I guess, they're going to be missing three of them. And so they've had to do some moving around, and so I think what they'll try to do offensively is to score pretty quickly so that the offense is not out there grinding it out. And if they get a big lead scoring quickly, then they can start grinding a little bit and let mm-hmm. the clock run. So I think that that's generally the game plan, or perhaps is what the game plan would be, the sequence that the coaches would like to use as far as getting a lead in the game and then getting the clock to run and getting the game over with. But by no means should Ole Miss have a chance to win this game. But they have good enough players, mm-hmm. as the Atlanta Falcons showed Sunday. Everybody's got good enough players that if you let them make plays on you, they're going to beat you. And so, you know, that's a lesson LSU, I think, knows already. But a constant reminder is a good thing.
He is Doug Moore, the color analyst on the LSU Sports Radio Network. LSU in Ole Miss, 6 o'clock kickoff. You'll hear it here on 103.7 The Game. Are you concerned? Ed Orgeron last night on his weekly radio show reiterated that left tackle Sadiq Charles will not be available and that Austin Deculus probably won't go. So there's two starting offensive linemen against a team. I know they haven't stopped many people, but they're second in the league in the SEC with 2.7 sacks per game. And I laugh at this one. They haven't allowed a passing touchdown in the last 10 quarters.
Well, I think that's probably going to come to an end.
I don't think they've played
Joe Burrow quality quarterback yet. And they have not played, other than Alabama, again, and I'll point out, Alabama moved the ball well on them. Alabama has the best group of receivers other than LSU's receivers, I think, in college football. And they're pretty even as far as the quality, you know, great NFL quality receivers. Whereas Ole Miss, their leading receiver, has caught 55 balls, right? Their next leading receiver has caught 11. So they got, you know, one guy, Elijah Moore, who is their guy, and his catches average 12 yards a catch. He scored 4 touchdowns. But he's not, you know, I mean, he is the guy. So if you slow down that guy, they have other people who are not yet the guy that they're going to have to throw the football to. Whereas LSU's got 4 or 5 or 6 guys, any of whom can be a big playmaker, as Alabama has that quality of receivers. So I think, you know, what LSU do, you try to shut down the receiver and you make the running quarterback a passing quarterback so that he then has to throw to uncommon targets and he doesn't get to run too much. Now, ideally, that's what your plan is. That's the way you'd like for it to work out. And Ole Miss has coaches, too, and they've got good players, so they're going to make adjustments and they're going to try to do whatever's necessary in order to feature their best weapons. But I think LSU just got more weapons. LSU has certainly much more reason to focus on this game and to make it another victory. So, the probability is well in LSU's favor for this game, and I think that that's the way it should be.
Doug, thank you so much. Have a safe trip to Oxford. I know it's going to be cold. Try and keep Jim Nickel from jumping up and down like he did against Alabama. Tell him to calm down a little bit, all right?
You know, Jim is just a little boy who's growing up, and it's going to take a while before he's getting used to beating Alabama, and it's been such a long time. He just wanted to celebrate it in a meaningful way.
Always a thrill to talk to you, my friend. Take care and bring back another W for us. Take care.
Thank you, Jordy. Good talking to you, buddy.
All right, Doug Morrow, the Jordy and the Judge. We'll continue Football Friday here on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. After this, stick around. Welcome back. As we continue on this Football Friday, the Tigers are heading to Memphis where they'll fly in, then they'll bus to their hotel room, and then Saturday at 6 p.m., the Ole Miss Rebels will welcome the number one team in the country to Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. On the call of the game as the color analyst for the Ole Miss Rebels, former Rebel Harry Harrison, who's kind enough to join us again this year. Harry, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Jordy, doing great. Beautiful day in Oxford. Not a cloud in the sky. About 52 or 3 degrees. Ought to be perfect for you.
Perfect. What kind of LSU Ole Miss stories you got for me from your day?
Well, Jordy, I'm sure you've never heard of the four-second clock, right? I was actually the guy that knocked the ball out of Brad Davis's hands, which he never caught when he scored. But we should have never gotten to that play. That was that play prior to that took the 3 seconds. So,
Bob and Ben, hell yeah, about 2,000 times discussed it.
So thanks for asking.
yeah. Okay. Yeah. I humbly apologize. I shouldn't have asked that question.
It's okay, man. When you talk about it at least 2,000 or 3,000 times, you finally think you're going to get over it, you know?
All right, let me, Bert, you got anything you want to tell Harry right now? No? Okay, Bert said he doesn't want to talk to you. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Is that Bert Jones? Is that Bert Jones?
Yes, yes. All right, enough of this craziness.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what enough of this craziness.
Yeah,
you're right. That's why you can't. I mean, seriously, I know it's the cliche, but you got to throw the records out. Anything can happen in this thing. Boy, you got a fast quarterback. He doesn't throw it very good, but boy, he sure can run it, can he?
You know, it's amazing. The kid just absolutely can fly. He's getting better throwing it, and it's been a combination of things. I mean, we're starting young receivers. Most of them are freshmen outside. You know, when you hang 86 or 8% of your offense on true freshmen or maybe a redshirt freshman quarterback, You get what you get. So, I mean, there's been games when we needed that last drive, we need that one big play, and these guys don't have enough snaps, enough reps to get that done. But they're getting better, and you just, you know, Ole Miss is, nobody's giving us a chance. And so we'll just have to see. Hopefully things can go our way. We'll stay in this thing to the fourth quarter and see how it all plays out.
Can you believe what you're seeing from an LSU football team this year?
You know, basically, if you look back 1 year, then it's really hard to believe that just changing this offense, and obviously Joe Burrow's having a fantastic year. He's really come into his own, and this new system fits him well. Obviously, he's got some talented guys to throw to, but it is amazing. You know, and you look at Alabama and LSU, it's always been play great defense, pound it a little bit. And now, all of a sudden, we wake up in 2019, and both these teams are spread offenses, tempos, throwing it down the field all over the place. No, yeah, we're going to throw in a run every now and then. But, you know, neither defense doesn't seem quite as good as it has been in the past, but still good enough, obviously. So, no, it's hard to believe just one year away from what I saw, you know, in 2018.
We're talking with Harry Harrison, the color analyst for the Ole Miss Rebel Radio Network, LSU versus Ole Miss, Saturday, 6 p.m., Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. Look, it's a proven fact. Joe Burrow's completing 78% of his passes. He's got three really good wide receivers and a good tight end. He's got a running back that comes out of the backfield and catches the football. And Ole Miss not very good in defending the pass. So what does Ole Miss do? I think Coach McIntyre has done a fabulous job with this ball club defensively. But what do you do against this LSU offense?
Well, the first thing you got to do is stop that run. I mean, you guys run it well enough that you can look up. If you start doubling the outside receivers, you're going to leave somebody out of the box. But the first thing we got to do is stop your run. You know, we know you're going to throw it down the field. We got to get some pressure on Joe Burrow. We've got some outside backers with the ability to do that. And the Rebels start three defensive down guys. We went to a 3-4. Mike McIntyre did a good job of recognizing talent and matching a system that would work. So we've got three senior down guys that have all played a lot of snaps, and they'll get some pressure. And then you've got two outside backers that really can run. So, you know, if you can get the run stopped to where, you know, LSU's going to throw it, and we know they're going to throw it a lot, but you got to get some pressure. You hope that secondary plays well, and we got a bunch of freshmen in some of those key spots. So, if you look at the stats, obviously the secondary of Ole Miss has been torched. But, you got to put all that behind you. If you've never played defensive back, and I know Bert hasn't, and I'm guessing you haven't, Jordy. You were a basketballer.
No,
I did. And
that's
so
right.
you got to put that out of your head, and, you know, you got to go play the next one, you know?
Yeah, you're right. Harry Harrison, kind enough to join us. Ole Miss is going to, if they're successful, it'll be the biggest upset of the season. And if you defeat Mississippi State on Thanksgiving night, then you're bowl eligible. That's a tough task ahead. But how is the program now with Matt Luke? I mean, you know, with all the sanctions and all that kind of stuff. But look, they played Auburn close. They played A&M close. They're not out of ball games. So they're pretty. I've been impressed. How about you?
I've been very impressed. Matt Luke, of course, took over this at a very tough time for Ole Miss, coming off of 5 years. Yeah. Of the NCAA camping out here, and I'm sure you guys may or may not ever experience that, but trust me, it's not much fun, and it's kind of like the IRS. When they come in, they're going to find something wrong with you, okay? So sleeping on couches and hunting on somebody's land, it gets a little bit weird, but that's kind of what we dealt with. And then he inherited two coordinators that Hugh Freeze had hired before he'd left town. And so that's kind of what Matt had dealt with for the first 2 years, and then he gets an opportunity to hire his own people. So really, I look at it, guys, as this is Matt Luke's first year, this is his staff. There's four or five games that we really could have won games. I mean, I know that's, you know, California, Memphis, even at Auburn, we had the ball there in the last 2 minutes with an opportunity. But when you're playing true freshman quarterbacks and two freshman running backs, outside guys, you just, and Bert would know this as well as anybody. You got to have somebody that can have a quarterback that's got to lead you, and it's a quarterback league regardless of where you are. You've got to have those snaps. Right. You got to have that ability to under pressure in 2 minutes and get it down the field. And, you know, we didn't get any of that done, and yet we had opportunities. But that's what it's going to have to take is taking that next step. And I don't know if we'll get it done this year. But I think, Matt Luke, if you look at four wins, you think, well, the teams have given up. They're not playing. He has these guys playing very, very good. And they're putting all the effort they got in it. I personally think that this program is back on the rise. And, you know, given the freshman class, it's really contributing. And the next class he's got coming in, we're coming back. And, you don't do that overnight. You know, basketball, you can do that with about two or three good players and get it done quickly.
But
that's football
true.
Takes
that's
a
true.
Little longer than that. And so that's kind of where we are. But I believe in this guy. I believe in Matt Luke. Nobody bleeds harder than Ole Miss and Matt Luke. I mean, his father's here. His brother played here. He played here, an overachieving guy. And he's been a great program. So, got a good background, and let's give him an opportunity.
Harry, I can't thank you enough, man. Bert left the room, but he said to tell you hello, and we still scored the touchdown. I'm just saying, that's what he said, not me, so don't shoot me, okay?
Well, here's the deal, Jordan. Go back and ask him about the next of the last play. When he backed up 7 yards, he faked the draw, pumped his
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. We just lost Harry Harrison. I'm sorry, I don't know where he is. Have a great game, Harry, wherever you are, and thank you for coming on the show. Don't forget about the Christmas Channel app with the holiday season right around the corner. Time to get in the spirit. Delta Media has you covered with Louisiana's Christmas Channel flavored by Tabasco. Download the free mobile app on the iPhone and Android now. You can have Christmas music right at your fingertips. Back, hour number two, next, the Jordy Helpert Show.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Holtberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Holtberg.
Well, it's hour two of two on this Football Friday, and away we go, brought to you by Cajun Chef Hot Sauce. Do yourself a flavor. Bring a bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go, because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef hot sauce on it. We covered LSU Ole Miss. It's a huge night now in the high school football ranks. The playoffs, they have begun. And to talk about that and much, much more, we welcome in the sports director from KLFY, our good friend, Fridays with Faust, George Faust. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you holding up?
Doing well. As football season kind of hits the accelerator here, this is the time where it matters, right?
Yes. We got volleyball in the state playoffs. They're coming down to cases there. And this is the start of the high school football season. And Acadiana, well represented indeed in Class 5A. The Wrecking Rams from Acadiana, they've proven throughout as the top seed in Class 5A, that they are a complete team. Anything short of a state championship representation, I think, would be a disappointment. They take on Benton tonight. Tell me your thoughts about that Class 5A matchup.
I really like Acadiana, obviously, all year long, having a chance to see them play week in, week out. They just do what they do very well. It's hard for them to be stopped on the offensive side of the ball. They've got experience at quarterback in Keontae Williams. They've got experience at the running back position with two signees to Alabama, or verbal commits to Alabama. To Army, Lucky Brooks and Dylan Monette, both going to committed to Army. So they have, on the offensive side of the ball, they just have so much experience. That offensive line is the key to that veer that they run. It's one of the things that's really interesting about high school football now, because not a lot of teams, everybody's going to that spread, and they have stuck with the veer, and they've made it so successful and done a great job of it. I don't see them having that many problems tonight if they just go out and handle their business. On the defensive side of the ball, they've got a young man in defensive line, that Theos Figueroa. I had a chance to talk with him earlier in the year. He's just such a down-to-earth guy, but one of the anchors on that defensive line, and their ability to kind of force turnovers and give their offense the ball is huge, and I think that's going to play a role tonight as Acadiana looks to kind of get through this first round and get into the second round, and then start kind of eyeing their path here to the dome.
Gotcha. George Faust, KLFY, kind enough to join us. One of those in Class 4A, two subpar years by the standards of Karen Crow, but in Tony Corville's third year, they've shown an awful lot. Despite losing their halfback, Traylon Brajan, to a season-ending injury, but they took on Westgate, and they look pretty darn good. They're in 4A. They're on the side of the bracket with number one Lakeshore, but Karen Crow will be hosting Salmon tonight. Tell me your thoughts on that.
Look, Karen Crow is one of these teams that at the beginning of the year, you're like, they probably have some talent. They always do have talent, but how good is this team really going to be? And by the midway part of the year, you're kind of like, got to keep our eye on the Golden Bears there. They're kind of making a push here. And even with the injuries that they've sustained, they've had a young man named Kendrell Williams. He stepped up in a big way. Last week had four touchdowns. He was our athlete of the week this week. And so what Coach Corville's been able to do is kind of keep this team on the right path. And look, a number five ranking in that district, I mean, they forced a three-way tie for the district championship by beating Westgate last week in the final week of the regular season. So their ability to move the ball has been impressive with guys like Kendrell Williams who've stepped up in the absence of other guys and dealing with those injuries that you talked about. Everybody knows how good Karen Crow has been in the past and how great Kevin Falk was in the early 90s. And there's a lot of pride and glory that goes with Karen Crow football. And maybe this could be the start of something special here as they try and make a run. Like you said, they're on the same side of the bracket as Lakeshore. They also got defending 3A state champ Eunice, who jumped up to 4A in that side of the bracket as well. And so Eunice is a team that I'm really curious to see how they play it out, because you know they won a state championship a year ago under Paul Trostclair. And I just glancing at the brackets here, man, there's three teams from this area, four teams from Acadiana's area, that with Rain, Karen Crow, North Vermilion, Eunice. All those teams got if they have a dream of getting to the dome, they might have to face each other. So, but Lakeshore obviously the number one seed. So we'll see what happens. But Karen Crow, to get back to the original point, been a very impressive this year with regards to what Coach Corville has been able to do throughout this season, kind of patching holes and then even surpassing what's expected for the Golden Bears.
George Faust, KLFY. That's a tough bracket. St. Thomas More in Division II, they only need to win two games to get to the final. And it doesn't look like anybody really on their side of the bracket seems to be on their level. But a team that has a tough row to hoe, but you can never count them out, is Notre Dame. They lost their running back, C.J. Thibodeau, for the season. In Division III, they've got Catholic of New Iberia, number three-ranked St. Charles Catholic. It's a tough road, but Louis Cook's been down that road many, many a time. Don't ever sell the Pios out.
No, you're right. Look, they've always got somebody in the wings lurking to kind of that next man up mentality. That probably started with Coach Cook back in the day, because there's always somebody who's ready to kind of assume the role. It's kind of, if somebody goes down, you're always like, oh, who are they going to have next year? It kind of reminds me, to be honest with you, of STM basketball. Because every year I ask Coach Danny Broussard at STM, I'm like, hey, Coach, how y'all going to be this year? George, we're going to be now. And then before you know it, they're in the top 28 and they're playing for a state championship. So Notre Dame in football reminds me of that, because they always have that next guy up mentality. And look, they have a great quarterback, and their backup quarterback, Parker Seon, is one of the guys who probably should have played a little more in the LCA game, if we're being honest. But Ben Broussard is their starter, and he's the guy who's gotten them pretty far last year in the state championship, played a phenomenal game. So there's a lot of talent on that Notre Dame team. But the matchup, that semifinal matchup, if everything holds to chalk there, that St. Charles Notre Dame game, that's going to be a beast of a game, and the winner of that one really has a good shot at either LCA or it looks like LCA might have the easier path to the dome in Division III there. So, Notre Dame always set and ready to go, and looking forward to that semifinal matchup with St. Charles if everything holds true.
There's a team, George Faust, sports director, KLFY, that is on a roll. They've won seven straight games, and that's the Church Point Bears in Class 3A. They avoid St. James, a really strong number one seed. But tell me what you know about the Bears.
Well, look, so J.C. Arsenault, the head coach, he a couple of years ago I had a chance to go chat with him. And there was this kid on their roster, and he was starting as a sophomore. He kept feeding him the ball, and I'm like, man, he's a beast, man. That's Rodney Dupuy. This young man, he's got so much ability, and he's a running back for Church Point. And if they can get him rolling, and obviously they've been able to do some of that this on this little streak that they're on. If they can keep that up, we might be talking about Church Point getting deep into this 3A bracket that has a lot of talent in it. Look, Kaplan's in there. Sterlington's one of those teams that's always in the postseason. They're always making hay in the playoffs. So, yeah, it's one of those exciting matchups in 3A where Church Point has the opportunity. And look, if they get Rodney Dupuy on the roll, the Bears could be rolling deep into the Class 3A playoffs.
George Faust of KLFY. No problem Saturday for the Raging Cajuns, right? I mean, South Alabama's not very good.
Yeah, that's the rumor. And you know, it's funny how that works because a lot of times you say, oh, you know, look what happened to the Saints and the Falcons, right? Everybody was picking the Saints on that one, right? And it just didn't work out that way. But, yeah, I don't think Coach Napier is going to let them have a letdown. There's too much at stake. They have to own their side of the bracket here, their side of the Sun Belt Conference in the West. And if they do that, then I think they're good to go. You know, I think they're going to take care of business. I don't think there's going to be any fallout there because they're focused on what they have to do with the job at hand. And look, there's a lot of different parts that go into that running game, but man, they are so strong with the offensive line, the way they play and the way they kind of dominate their opposing D lines I think they're going to just run the ball up and down the field and not have a problem with it against South Carolina.
You know, George, though, if Levi Lewis can put up numbers like he did last week throughout the course of the remainder of the season, they'll win the whole darn thing. They'll beat App State. I'm telling you, he's the key. So I know they're easy. They can run, but boy, you got to keep letting this boy play so that he can continue his confidence and continue to play that style of game, because that's what it's going to take to win.
No, look, you're absolutely right. And Coach even mentioned this at the press conference this week. He said, look, you know, Levi had a little something extra in that tank last week. When he was throwing the ball, you could see there was a little extra zip. He was a little more in tune. So maybe he's becoming a lot more comfortable with what they're asking him to do. And if he can do that, you're right. I mean, that to have that threat, you got Jamarcus Bradley, you got Bam Jackson, you have all the Peter LeBlanc, these wide receivers that can maybe start, he can start trusting a little bit more and zipping it to him. That's tough to defend. What are we going to do, run or pass? Which one are we going to do?
Poison.
Ahead and guess.
That's
right. Exactly.
Well, I know where George Faust is going to be. I know George Faust and his crew are going to be out throughout Acadiana for the best high school football coverage on KLFY. And I greatly appreciate your time, my friend. And keep up the great work.
All right, will do, Jordy. Thanks for having me on. We look forward to talking to you soon.
You got it, my friend. There is George Faust, KLFY, with your high school football report brought to you by Cajun Chef, the best hot sauce in the world. Bring a bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef hot sauce on it. No disrespect to the Jags of South Alabama. We're going to talk to their play-by-play voice, J.D. Byers, and figure out what's going on with them as the Cajuns try to get win number 8 of the regular season. Next, here on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline.
It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
All right, let's get the word from the South Alabama Jaguars. 4 o'clock kickoff tomorrow in lovely Mobile, Alabama. And the voice of the Jags is our good friend, J.D. Byers, who's kind enough to join us. J.D., how have you been, my friend?
I'm good, despite a 1-8 record. But, hey, it's beautiful today in Mobile. Blue skies, feels great. It kind of warmed up a little bit. South Alabama needs a win in the worst way.
Have you ever seen one of those jubilees where all the shrimp and the crabs and the fish come to the surface? Have you ever seen one of those in Mobile Bay?
You know, I have not, and I've heard about it. And I was actually at our place down in Fort Morgan, and they said there was going to be one up around Fairhope, down around Bon Secours the weekend we were there.
Yeah.
And I was like, we need to go, we need to go. Take a cooler, start scooping this stuff up, and we didn't go up. But I want to see that soon. It's remarkable.
Yeah, give me a heads up on that. I'll make the drive, man. I love Mobile. I love that play. Hey, before we get to football, how great was that basketball game? Auburn and South Alabama went down to the wire, packed house. That must have been fun.
Oh, unbelievable. It's an indoor attendance record for the Mitchell Center, 10,068, hosting the Auburn Tigers. They were ranked number 22, obviously a Final Four team last year. So all that cachet kind of had a reason for folks to really want to come out and pack it. There were obviously a lot of Auburn fans, but, you know, obviously also a lot of folks are having high expectations of Jags basketball and their second-year head coach, Richie Riley, picked to win the Sun Belt Conference. But, you know, at one point the Jags were down 14 in the second half and couldn't get a three to drop to save their life, ended up with 6 and hit 2 clutch late. But Auburn gets a putback with 1.9 or 2 seconds like that to go to win it.
Mm. All right. So, J.D., you'll be on the call with Pat Greenwood and Lauren Estes on the sidelines. 1-8. Give me a positive from this season, if there is one.
Yeah, I may need to get back to you. No, it's Trey Minter's been great on purpose. I'm telling you, it's been frustrating. The defensive front are very deep. They've held their own. They're going to have their work cut out against a very veteran offensive line that has tended to dominate the line of scrimmage. But South Alabama, just a handful of plays into the opener at Nebraska, lost the first-team all-conference guy, Tyree Turner. He's going to try to get a medical red shirt. He has not played since, nor will he play the rest of the year. And South Alabama, last game, went with a new quarterback, started Desmond Trotter, who will also start tomorrow for South Alabama. A young kid, they went as deep and as long as they could with Cephas Johnson, just not seeing the success they wanted out of the redshirt sophomore. So Trotter will trot out and take the field again. A guy with some good genetics. He's a dad played college football, mom played college hoops, and grandfather, you'll know who this guy is, Ozzie Newsome.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
They're from up around the Birmingham area. I'm originally from the same area Ozzie Newsome's from. He's, of course, college and pro football Hall of Fame, former GM of the, I want to say Browns and Ravens.
Yes, he was. J.D. Byers, kind enough to join us, the play-by-play voice for South Alabama. So, look, this is it's a great football area, Mobile, such a great history of college football from years gone by. So is this thing close to being it takes time to turn the corner, I understand, but do you feel like Ladd Peebles Stadium, the old venerable place, is going to one day see some really good football like in years gone by?
No, and I'll tell you why. We're leaving Ladd Peebles Stadium. We're building an on-campus stadium, 25,000-seat Hancock Whitney opens next fall. That's the good news. But, you know, we gotta take some wins into that thing and, turn this thing around.
Yeah.
Steve Campbell's now in his second year. Offensive and defensive coordinators were carryovers from last year. These are guys that are obviously bringing in new systems, need new personnel. And, you know, I think the head coach is in a 4-year agreement contract. And, you know, everybody is behind him and expects when we run out of that tunnel, the new stadium on campus in Mobile next year, he's our guy. And of course, nobody is more frustrated, upset, disappointed with the performance than him, his staff, and the players in that locker room. So nobody wants to turn the corner more than they do. But, you know, winning cures a lot. Attendance, excitement,
yes,
buy-in from the community, and it's got to happen at some point.
J.D., when you look at the Raging Cajuns, Billy Napier's second season, what you got to be impressed with what he's doing.
Absolutely, and I get to spend time with Billy a few times a year. Last year also, when Louisiana was in the conference championship game up at Appalachian State, I was fortunate to host the ESPN pregame show and postgame show for that, and so I got to, you know, be a little bit more behind the scenes with Billy. Coach is just remarkable in the way that what I like, this just outside guy looking in. There are coaches who like to do a whole lot of rah-rah, get ready. I want to have you ready to run through a brick wall at kickoff. But, you know, that only lasts through one series. And then all of a sudden you're hitting the face or you've hit somebody in the face and it's time to play and it's the game. And you're in the trenches and all that pregame speech goes out the window. It's great to be a great motivator, but, you know, he seems so even keel that he coaches them up till kickoff and then says, all right, let's go play. And you're ready. And you've got the preparation, you've got the skills, we recruited the right guy, you've all bought into the program, and Coach Napier just seems to always put the next game first, has them up for that game, and has a good full 60 minutes, four quarters efforts out of his guy every time they take the field, and I'm really impressed with that.
Yeah, J.D., it seems like they're never too high, they're never too low. They kind of play even, Steven, right down the middle, and he's done a remarkable job trying to get win number 8 of the season. So, basketball season's there, so you got a good coach. He was at Nichols, and I did some of his games before. He's a good coach. I like the direction of your basketball team.
Yeah, no, he's a fiery one. I love Richie Riley. The whole community loves Richie Riley. He has recruited very strong. He is built to win right away. He has some transfers, which is what really I spend a lot of time before the game at Shoot Around with Bruce Pearl when Auburn came in, and he looked at me and said, look, I've got some newcomers who only got here in the fall. Richie Riley's got newcomers who were here last fall, sat out, and have bought into his program and his practice, and he said, this team's going to be on a roll. They're going to be very good this year, and I expect to see them in the NCAA tournament. So we'll see what happens. Of course, the tests are always there, regardless of who you are. Bob Marlin's always got a great Raging Cajun team. UT Arlington's probably going to be good this year. Georgia State may be a little bit down since Ron Hunter now is the head coach at Tulane.
J.D., better days ahead in football, buddy. Have a great call of the game. Always fun talking with you, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate you.
You take care. Twin Peaks Pro Pick'em Challenge is available. So go to 1037thegame.com. Take part of it. It's easy. Every single week, you get a new chance of scoring Twin Peak gift cards by picking the correct winners for that week's exciting NFL action. It's simple. It's fun. It's free. The Twin Peaks Pro Pick'em Challenge brought to you by 1037 The Game. We're going to pick some games next. Hey, we welcome you back. This is one of my favorite times of the week when we get the tripod together. Myself, say hello to everybody, CD.
Hey guys, what's going on?
All right, and my good friend, the third leg of the tripod, Mr. George Becknell. Good afternoon, George.
Good afternoon, everybody. LSU beat Bama, and I'm still excited about it.
How about that? You see, everybody says, oh, we got to turn the page. No, the players have already turned that page a long time ago. We as fans, we have no impact on the game in any way, shape, or form. We can still be talking about Alabama till 6 o'clock tomorrow night, right? I mean, absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. I'm with it.
You didn't
tell me
Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going to have a game like that, George.
I did not see it, but, man, that's going to be one of the special performances in LSU football history, man. Like, that guy, I don't know what, like, he's always been good, and he's always been consistent for us, but nobody saw that coming. I don't think Coach O saw that coming.
All right, let's get to I don't know where we're going with this, but, man, oh, CB, have you ever seen anything like what Myles Garrett did? What? I'm still shocked by that.
Possibly the most heinous act I've ever seen perpetrated on a football field, Jordy. It was just unnecessary, no matter what may or may not have been said, according to the rumor and innuendo. There's no reason to take a dude's helmet off and swing it at him. That is just unacceptable. Wow. And honestly, I'm surprised. I feel like, you know, Myles Garrett got off easy. He's only technically suspended for 6 games, so there's only 6 weeks left in the regular season. There's no chance the Browns make the postseason. There should be a banishment on Myles Garrett after what happens. It's not just the fact that he hit him with his helmet. That's aggravated assault, brother.
Yeah. George, if he flips that helmet the other way and hits him with the crown of the helmet, we're talking at the least concussion, maybe a lot worse than that. I mean, that's crazy. He just snapped, man. But he's always been like that. He was like that in college.
Yeah, Jordan, I don't know what he was thinking. No, granted, I understand that Mason Rudolph, you know, escalated the situation. He tried to pull his helmet off first. But I agree with you and Clint in the sense that Myles Garrett was wrong as soon as he swung the helmet at Mason Rudolph. Like, I've never seen anything like that. I'm just thankful that it turned out the way it did, because Mason Rudolph could have been severely hurt without possibly not maybe a career-ending injury. You know, you can't do that. Once a guy's helmet is off and you have you weaponize his helmet, that guy's completely defenseless, and you absolutely cannot swing that helmet like that and, you know, take that type of risk. So I'm in agreement that he's suspended for the rest of the year. But that's just unfortunate because he's such an amazing talent, and you lose all that by one dumb act, one stupid act. He's right. They were suspended.
And they were winning the game because Rudolph is so bad. And
terrible.
I not to make light of it, not to make a joke out of it, but he's holding his arms out. Did you see that? Yeah, we saw it. We know we saw it. But anyway, golly, that's just, I mean, you talk about a guy that just snapped. That snapped. All right, let's get back to some to fun stuff. The oldest rivalry in the South, Georgia and Auburn. Alabama fans are praying for, Auburn to win, so they'll, you know, that their game against Auburn will be significant. CD, who wins that one? Georgia? Auburn?
I got to go with the Bulldogs, Jordy, because the fact they just look so darn well throughout the season. I actually conveniently saw this stat pop up earlier today, a lot of defensive statistics. And, Jordy, there's no reason why this team does not win this ball game, really helping secure their spot in the college football playoff right here, right now. And great, somebody actually deleted the tweet, but it actually had them not allowing only allowing like a couple red zone trips all season long, ranked top of the nation, top of the SEC, and a lot of key defensive stats. I got to think that's big reason why they're winning this one.
Yeah, they haven't given up a rushing touchdown all year long, the Georgia Bulldogs. So I don't care who you're playing against. That's pretty darn good. But can Gus Miles on? I mean, they do it every year. They pull a rabbit out of the hat against somebody. Is this the time for Gus Miles on, George?
It sure is, but I have to disagree with my brother Clint there, man. I think Auburn has the best defensive line in football. Those D tackles, man, are studs. I mean, they stuff the run like nobody's business. And, you know, to a point that was made on this show a couple weeks ago, Kirby Smart, I think you said that, Jordan, Kirby Smart is like the new Les Miles of the SEC. He's been ultra vanilla in his offense. He has a pretty good quarterback, but he's not utilizing him. So if he plans to run the ball, line up and run the ball on Auburn, it's not going to happen. And I think Gus Malzahn, even though Bo Nix isn't as good as Jake Fromm, Gus Malzahn will be a little bit more creative in the offense and air it out a little bit more. And I really expect Auburn to win this football game, especially at home. So I like Auburn in this matchup. and it's going to throw the college football rankings into chaos.
I'm kind of agreeing with you, George. I just got a feeling Auburn does it once a year. They beat somebody that nobody thinks they're going to. They are at home. I love their defense. I'm not sold on their quarterback, obviously. They got to run the football. I think a very, very close game. It may take one of those special team moments, but I like Auburn in a close one to shock the world. CD, is Baylor going to remain unscathed? They host the Oklahoma Sooners in a huge primetime game for the Baylor Bears in Waco, Texas.
I don't think they do. It's going to be a fun one in Waco, Waco, Texas, but I think we see the Oklahoma Sooners do what the Oklahoma Sooners do. Jalen Hurts is going to come out there and bring the heat. He knows that obviously he's going to wind up probably being second place to Joe Burrow, or as I'm going to call him now, Joey Heisman. The Baylor Bears are going to wind up coming in for a rude awakening in the Big 12, and Oklahoma going to knock them out and potentially almost virtually knock out the Big 12 from contention in the CFP, at least from my point of view.
Okay, all right, that's what we're here for. We like your point of view. George, does Matt Rhule and the Baylor Bears stay undefeated, or does the Sooners put the Boomers on the Bears?
Jordan, give me Oklahoma. For everything that Clint just said, I'm in 100% agreement, right? You look at Oklahoma every year, they do the same exact thing. They blow a game in the Big 12 that they shouldn't blow, and then they end up winning all the rest of the games. Then they go to the Big 12 championship and win that and try to back into the college football playoffs that way. But I'll be honest with you. One thing that Clint said that may not be 100% true, Oklahoma will win this game, but they're going to be the biggest Auburn fans in the country because Auburn beat Oregon. So if Oregon, if Auburn knocks out Georgia and if they win the Iron Bowl, Oregon's loss to Auburn, you can't really put Bama or Georgia in there for losing to Auburn. So Oklahoma might run the table and have an outside shot of winning that number four seed as the Big 12 champion because everybody else lost and they won their conference. So they have an outside shot at this. I think their focus, and I think to Clint's point about the Heisman, Jalen Hurts is hearing all this stuff about Joe Burrow. That guy's going to be ready to go. So I like Oklahoma in this one.
Yeah, Oklahoma rolls in this one. I just can't see Baylor. I mean, they'll pack the house, but come on. No, not right now, Baylor. Not right now. Speaking of another undefeated team, this one's going on the road. Row, row, row your Minnesota boat going to Iowa to fight to take on the Fighting Kirk Ferentz's Hawkeyes. CD, does PJ come back to Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes, still undefeated?
You know, it's going to be tough, Jordy, because of the fact that Minnesota has not beaten Iowa in Iowa since 1999. It's a lot like the LSU-Auburn rivalry. Whenever it heads over to Baton Rouge, Auburn just cannot get a win, catch a break. But I think this might be the year where P.J. Fleck is going to be rowing the boat back over to Minnesota from Iowa with a win over the Hawkeyes. I wouldn't be surprised if they keep on rolling heading into that Big Ten title game. That's going to be a lot of fun in a few short weeks, Jordy.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, Minnesota at Iowa. Who you got, George?
Jordy, I agree with Clint once again. You know, you look at this Minnesota football team. This is a very, very good football team. Their coach has been singing their praises all year, trying to get them to come to Minnesota for college game day instead of going to Tuscaloosa. You know, then they come out and back it up with a good win against a very, very good Penn State ball club. I think this team is focused, and they're going to continue to roll. I think they'll go into the Big Ten championship undefeated. But, I mean, also, if you look at it, their resume is pretty good. You know, they beat Penn State. Now this is another opportunity to beat another top 25 team. They're trying to make their case to get that number four spot in the college football playoff rankings as well. So I think they're ready to go, and they're going to get it done. I just don't see them beating Ohio State later on. But at the same time, they're going to win Saturday.
I'm with you. I love the quarterback at Minnesota. I love how unified they are, how they just figure out a way. That was an impressive win against Penn State. I know it's tough to play in Iowa. I know Iowa's defense, they like to control the ball, control the clock. It's low-scoring games, but I just like Minnesota. I think they're going to take care of business. Let's go to the place where we want to all take care of business, and that is Oxford, Mississippi. CD, LSU, 21-point favorite in this thing over the Ole Miss Rebels. Emotional game Saturday, of course, against Alabama. How do you see this one going?
I see this one going a lot like the last few have gone, Jordy. It's got to be the LSU Tigers rolling over the Ole Miss Rebels, because after all, it seems like every year since Coach O's been the head coach, they've been able to handle the ball games with relative ease against the Ole Miss Rebels. Sure, the Rebels have definitely been down in the last several years, but I think this is going to be an absolute dominant victory by the LSU Tigers. It's not going to be like we saw in the Vanderbilt game early October, actually, I should say.
Okay.
You're going to see this be a very convincing win over Ole Miss.
Gotcha. George.
Jordan, if you think about it, right after the game, Coach O and Joe Burrow both said, we got to take care of Ole Miss. They said that on the field in Bryant Denny Stadium. You know, then if you watch the national guys, everybody's been talking about, you know what, Alabama can still make their way to the college football playoffs. I even heard some national guys saying Alabama lost the game instead of LSU winning this game. This team is going to be so focused and so ready to get back on the field and prove that they're the best team in the country. And who do you have on the other side of the field? The worst pass defense in the SEC right now.
Yeah.
Jordan, this game is going to be so ugly to where you go ahead and you go see Joe Burrow throw for like 5-6 touchdowns, and LSU is going to cover the spread. They might even put up 60. So I got the Tigers winning big.
I like them as well for what you just mentioned. LSU is what? The best passing offense in the country. Ole Miss is what? One of the worst pass defensive teams in the country. Ole Miss can't throw the ball. All they do is run it. LSU's going to stack the box. They're going to play man-to-man on the wide receivers. This is the tailor-made game that LSU needs after Alabama. They just do. This is just a bad matchup for Ole Miss. I think Burrow and company go off. They may start off a little bit slow, but I see this thing getting people will be flipping the channels in the fourth quarter because it's going to be a blowout. I love LSU in this one. CD, do you love the Saints in a bounce back game in Tampa Bay on Sunday?
I absolutely love it, Jordy, because of the fact that I feel like you look at the Saints, they're going to be bouncing back. I think a big reason why is because this team knows how important it is to get these divisional wins. You need to start putting yourself up, drifting yourself to par, because the month of November, Jordy, is largely all NFC South opponents. You're facing off against everybody that's in your division. I think the Saints are going to bounce back. It's not going to be as big of a win as they had the last time they played the Bucs inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, but over in Tampa by the Bay, the Bucs will keep it competitive, but it will be all black and gold on Sunday afternoon.
All right. George, your thoughts on the Saints at Tampa Bay?
Jordan, all week, you know, I've been listening to people like, you know, I've been watching a lot of national stuff this week, if you can't tell.
Okay.
Some people are saying, should there be a quarterback controversy in New Orleans? People were actually saying that. You know, that's ridiculous. Drew Brees is listening to that. And then if you look at it, Drew played pretty good last weekend. You know, if you had to blame anybody, I put that loss on Sean Payton. The New Orleans Saints ran the ball 11 times. That's ridiculous. You know, Sean Payton's play calling was questionable. And this is the man that's been the head coach of the year so far. So if you look at it, Tampa Bay, their defense allowed 22 passing touchdowns this year to only 6 interceptions. Brees has a major chip on his shoulder. He's going to go out and show, A, that he's one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history, and there's no way that there should be any question who's the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints if he's healthy and on the field. So I think Drew Brees has a big game. He might look like 2011 Drew Brees, and the Saints going to roll over Tampa Bay because they got thoroughly embarrassed at home against the lowly Atlanta Falcons.
And I think they're going to mix in the run as well. I think you're going to see much more Kamara and Murray, and I think Brees plays well. I think the defense wants to make amends for their their poor performance in stopping the run. That is probably no Marshawn Lattimore, but I still like the Saints. I like the Saints big. I got to go back to George real quick. How about Carmelo back in the NBA with the Portland Trailblazers?
Hey, I've been saying it. I think Carmelo should be in the NBA. Now, is he an all-star level player like he used to be? No. But I think this is a good pickup for Portland because when they're in the playoffs, you know, Dame Lillard shows up and nobody else can get a bucket. You know, Carmelo Anthony can score a bucket or two. He's not going to go out and get you 30 like he used to. But he's probably one of the best isolation players I've ever seen in my life. I still think he can go out and get you 10 points off the bench. So I like this move by Portland, and I think Carmelo is going to contribute well.
Boo! He ain't won since he was at Syracuse. He's going to – Portland just – that's the kiss of death for the Portland Trailblazers. I'm telling you, he's not going to play any defense. All he's going to do is stand out there, catch it, and shoot it, and there goes the chemistry. Boo! Boo! All right, Clint, I'll let you close things off. Anything else on your mind on this Friday?
Jordy, there's a lot on my mind, but I think we need to kind of double back towards what George Becknell said a little bit earlier about Sean Payton being coach of the year. I can understand where you're coming from with that, George, but at the same time, I think we got to want to give him a little credit to somebody named Frank Reich for kind of righting the ship when it comes to the Indianapolis Colts. You have Andrew Luck retire before the season starts, and then Jacoby Brissett picks it up, and they've actually exceeded a lot of people's expectations. I think you got to give the Coach of the Year award right here, right now, to Frank Reich.
Well, I think he definitely deserves consideration.
He does. But we'll see. Let's see how the season plays out. Let's see how it plays out. George, have a great weekend. CD, don't you go anywhere, because we're going to wrap this baby up. Football Friday, the Jordy Helfrich Show, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Back with LSU's hype sound for the Ole Miss game next. And we welcome you back, finishing touches of this Football Friday. Don't forget about DC's Little Capital X on I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia Exit in Brobridge for all your high school tailgating needs. They've got it, and that true soul food deli with the best cheeseburger tucked away in the corner. Ooh, it is some kind of good. Special thanks to all of our guests, Chris Kozar, Jim Nickel, Doug Morrow, Harry Harrison, George Faust, J.D. Byers, George Becknell, and the best producer out there, C.D. Clinton Domain. Better Than Ezra, Baton Rouge Band, their lead singer, helped put together the latest edition of LSU's hype video for the Ole Miss game. Have a great weekend and enjoy the Tigers.
It's about practice. It's about preparation. It's about being early to meetings. It's about transition. It's about great energy at practice. And I will talk to the team each day about the preparation. And we have a lot riding in this game. And it doesn't matter what we did yesterday. This is the biggest game because it's our next game.
There's a secret all the great performers know. It's what separates the headliners from the one-hit wonders. To get to the top, you can't just bring the house down once. When you bring them to your feet with your very best performance, play all the right notes. After you drop the mic and they drop the curtains, you've got to come back out the next night and do it all over again. We were good tonight. We've got to be better tomorrow. The stage is only getting bigger. The spotlights only get brighter. The show goes on. And we're not here just to put on a show. We're here to put on a clip.
Some quarterback from Ohio that came in wide. Not everybody wanted him. Justin Jefferson, two-star recruit. Pat Moss transfer. Me transfer. Nobody believed me. I told you.